appreciate your prayers this evening. I'd like to share a few scriptures with us and hope they'll be a challenge to us. I'd like to start off in the book of John, the second chapter. John, the second chapter and the 13th verse, it says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, Take these things hence, and make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up." I want to talk just a little bit this evening about this verse, the zeal that Christ had for His house and for people. This scripture is quoted in Psalms, the 69th chapter. Psalm 69. And read verse 7 with it. It says, "Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me." I don't know, you know, Jesus went against what was being done and what was had been accepted and what was taking place. He went against all of that. There's one place where it talked about his brethren did not believe in him. Christ's earthly brothers did not believe. This scripture here is saying, "I am become a stranger to my brethren." Jesus took the reproach that they were given upon God. Jesus took that reproach upon himself, and it probably created some distance in the relationship. But he had a zeal. He had a burning desire in his heart. There's another scripture in Psalms 119. It says, "My zeal hath consumed me." The Septuagint has the word, "The zeal has quite wasted me." In other words, his life for God, his zeal that he had for the things of God, it was his life. It took his energy. It took his time. I don't believe Jesus gave any scars. I don't believe he gave any black eyes with those, the whip. I believe it was a surprise attack, and I believe it caused a stir. But they were doing things. They were bringing things into the house of God that was not acceptable. Another place he said, it's to be called a house of prayer. It's a place of prayer. It's not to do business. It's not to make merchandise and gain. And Jesus was very zealous. In reading this and studying this, I feel very challenged in my heart, and I've been praying, God, help me to have a greater zeal in my life. Christ is our example. Help me to have a greater fervency in my spirit for the things of God, the kingdom of God. You know, we sang that song tonight, a million souls and a billion, I just can't hardly comprehend, but the zeal God wants us to have in our lives is important. Jesus had a zeal. And we see it, I want to turn to John, the 4th chapter and the 31st verse. John 4 and 31st, this is where he talked with the woman at the well. In verse 31, it said, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work." My meat, my nourishment, my existence, Jesus fed. His life was nourished and fed. And there is no greater blessing. It's a great encouragement and source of strength when the Lord is working through our lives to help those around about us, to be an encouragement and a strength. There's meat there for our spiritual life. There's meat because we see God working. We see what He's doing. And it encourages, it's meat to us. It helps us. And when I was looking over these scriptures, I've been studying a lot in the book of John. But it's like Jesus was at the well. He was wearied with His journey. But it's like He took every opportunity. He was full. He was ready. And He took, when an opportunity presented itself, He was there. And I found that a great challenge to us today. He had His passion. He was full. That was what came out of His actions. His mouth was the souls of mankind to help and to bless them. And He goes on, He says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, one soweth and another reapeth. I sent you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored and you are entered into their labors." But the lesson was, don't say there's 4 months, then comes harvest. He said, lift up your eyes. You know, Brother Marty talked about moments last night. There's moments that pass us. There's moments in our days that we have opportunities to speak. We have opportunities to help. We have opportunities that God opens the doors for us to be a help and a blessing. We want to have that zeal. We want to be filled. We want to be fervent in spirit, that when that opportunity arises, it just comes out. It just flows. The Lord flows out through us. Jesus had that zeal. Another place He said, "Work while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And I know we're not Jesus. Jesus had three and a half years for His ministry. I know that was a very focused and very purposed, but I still believe tonight that God wants us to have a zeal in our hearts, in our lives. I want to mention a zeal for prayer. A zeal for prayer. Do we really enjoy our prayer life? Do we really enjoy, you know, it's more than just saying words and giving our request. I know sometimes we have lots of requests and there are many needs. But I want to ask this morning, do we have a zeal for prayer? That's where God meets us. That's where we begin to commune with Him and He with us. If we just say words and get up and go our way and we don't give God a chance to talk to us. I know we live in a busy time. I know we live in a world, but it takes time to cultivate this relationship. It takes time for prayer. But God is there. God will meet us and help us if we have that zeal to hear what God wants to say. Don't allow our prayer life to become old and worn out. Don't allow it to get broken down and decrepit. Keep a zeal for prayer. And I want to mention too, the study of the Scriptures. Are we zealous in our study of the Word of God? Are we hungry for the things of God, or are our minds distracted on this thing and that thing that's going on? We want to have a zeal for the Word of God. There in one of the Psalms, he said, "While I mused, the fire burned." In other words, while I was contemplating, while I was meditating, while I was thinking on the Word of God, something began to happen in my bosom. Something began to change. Something began to work. It comes alive to us. If we're willing to invest some time in it, if we just open it up and just read a little bit, and that's all there is to it, and we don't take time to get into the Word, then we're going to lack in zeal. We're going to harm ourselves. I want to get another scripture in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans 12. Romans 12 and 1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You know, when we read the study scriptures and we begin to meditate upon them, sometimes it's not immediate where it opens up to us. But if we're looking to God and we're praying for understanding that God would help us to get a hold of something, that scripture, when it begins to work in our mind, it will begin to transform. It will begin to renew our mind. Renew our thinking. Renew our hope and our strength and our courage. I know we live in life, and Brother Marty last night or the other night talked about the dull, heavy tread of the years. That song mentioned that. And I, you know, the cares of this life, the responsibilities of things, can really hinder us and zap our zeal and zap the fire that God wants us to have in our life. It can drain that out of us. But I want to encourage us tonight that we can be renewed. Our zeal can be, I think all of us here at one time or another, if we're very old, have had to have renewal. We've been in some accidents. We've been in some wrecks. We've taken some blows. I thought about a blow. You know, have you ever seen stars? Got hit in the head. I don't know if I've seen stars, but I got hit in the head in high school, and a adult there asked me what the day of the week was and asked me a few questions, and he said, "You better go sit down." You know, sometimes we take blows spiritually, and it creates a loss, a sense of loss. And it takes time for us to get our balance and figure out what's going on. You know, God knows that we have times like that in life. And He gives us space. And He helps us through those times. But He wants our zeal to be rekindled and renewed. He wants a zeal in us, a fervency in us for the things that God has for us. And I thought about the scripture Jesus talked about. He said, "Except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood." You know, when we imbibe the Word of God, that's what we're doing, is eating of His flesh of His life, when I'm meditating and I'm taking it in, I am eating His flesh. And this scripture here says, be transformed. In other words, I can change in my spiritual life. I can gain victories in my life because my thought processes are being changed. The thoughts that bring defeat, the thoughts that bring discouragement, the thoughts that cause us not to have any hope in our life, that can all be changed. It can change our outlook, and God can help us to be renewed and strengthened. I remember years ago when we lived in Oregon, I was zapped by the cares of life, the dull, heavy tread of the years. And I was in trouble and I didn't know it. My wife later told me she thought I was getting close to a nervous breakdown, but I didn't realize it. I was just, you know, stress has a way of creeping up on us that we don't hardly realize what's happening until something happens to help us recognize. But we went out, she said, let's go camping. We've done a lot of camping. Looked at her and I said, what? What are you talking about, camping? Don't you see these bills and all the things we got to do? She said, let's go camping. So we went camping. And I want to tell you, we got, I don't know if you all have seen Mount Jefferson. It's my favorite place in Oregon, partially because of this incident. But we got there that night. We went camping. And I sat down in the chair, and my children, they started getting out the tent. Some of them started cooking a meal. You know, that was such a blessing to me. I just sat there. I didn't have anything. And we stayed there for 3 days. We hiked. We went up over this crest of this one place and we saw Mount Jefferson in its fullness. There's a valley down there. There was a little pond. And we just spread our things out there and we had a little picnic. And we swam. And we ate together and we enjoyed the view together. And then we hiked back to our tent that evening. I got dehydrated. I got sick that night, threw up. But you know, after 3 days, I went home a new person. I was renewed in my spirit. My circumstances didn't change. They were still there. God didn't pull them away. But I had energy. I had life. I had strength. It was totally different. And my circumstances hadn't changed. Lord knows that we need renewal. There's none of us. One place it talked about even the young. The young would faint. The race is too great. It's too long. It's too troubling. There's too many things. And God has made provision for us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. That we can have that hope and that courage. Do we have a zeal? Another thing I wanted to mention tonight is a zeal for our families. A zeal for our marriages. For them to be what God wants them to be. You know, Jesus, there was things there that were happening at the temple that shouldn't have been happening. And if we're not careful, there'll be things that creep up and start happening in our homes and marriages that shouldn't be happening. And if we'll just sit back and watch it happen if we don't have a zeal. Rod talked about this evening highly valuing something. When we highly value and respect and honor what God has given us and entrusted into our care, it produces a zeal that we want to protect and help. And I want to encourage us to have a zeal for our children, for our marriages. You know, we can be renewed. What do you think tonight? Do you think the honeymoon was the best of it? Do you think that's it? The honeymoon was over, now we just kind of got to go through life? I can testify today that marriage can be richer, more fuller, more complete than it was on day one. We've been through some things together, and God can help and bless our marriages, and I pray tonight that we have a zeal of God for our homes and for our children and for our families, and God will help us and bless them. I wanted to mention the scripture in Matthew, the 11th chapter. Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter, and I believe it's the first verse. We can read verse 2, Matthew 11. It said, "Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." You know, he said, go show John again. You know, it had been revealed to John. They were there when they were baptizing, and Jesus, when he first saw Jesus, John the Baptist, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he also testified that the one had sent him and said, "Whoever you see the Spirit descending upon and remaining on him, he's the Christ, he's the Son of God." John had that revealed to him. But while he was sitting in jail, while things weren't going like he thought they should have been, he began to question. And he said, "Go show John again." You know, the Lord wants to show us again. He wants to renew our vision. He wants to renew our vision of our calling, of our place in the body of Christ, of what He wants us to do. He wants to renew that vision. Maybe it had been revealed to us before. Maybe we've had those things revealed to our hearts, but life happens. Things happen. And Jesus said, "Go show John again those things." And the Lord wants to show us again. He wants to renew our mind and our spirit this evening. And He can do that if we'll let Him do that. He can renew our spirit, our inner man. And we can be full. We can be have that desire to live for God. Have that desire for our homes, our families, for prayer. We can have that desire. And God can meet us and bless us and renew our hope and our vision this evening. In Pilgrim's Progress, we had that scene. Might have been Interpreter's House, I remember. But anyway, this guy was throwing this water on this fire. And every time he threw the water, the flame would dash up. It'd get brighter. And he found that there was oil from the other side coming into that fire. You know, we can have the oil of the Holy Spirit burning in us. We live in dark times. We live in a time of iniquity and great trouble. But you know, the Scripture said where iniquity abounds, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. We don't have to let what's happening pull us down in our spiritual life. We don't have to allow it to zap us if we take the time to be renewed in our mind, in our heart, in our spirit, and God can renew us. I think about the there in Isaiah where it talked about the coal of fire. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips and I live in the midst of unclean people. But he took fire off the altar and he touched his mouth. And he said, behold, thy iniquity is purged. And he said, his response was, behold, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. Do we have that zeal this evening? Do we have that fervency of heart and spirit here? Lord, I am available. Send me. Help me to be what you're calling me to be. Help me to be able to be a help and assistance. And I think about a zeal for our neighbors, for our congregations, for the church, for the people of God. God can give us a zeal and help us to have a zeal for the people of God and the things we need each other. You know, on Wednesday night, it's so encouraging on Wednesday night when somebody comes in and they've got a burning testimony. I tell you, it doesn't take very much to light the fire. How is it for us Wednesday night? What are we like in our? I don't live here, so I don't know. But do we come with something on hand? Do we come with something to offer? It's not just the minister's responsibility. Brother Rod talked about being active participants. Come with something on hand. You know, that takes time ahead of time. That takes some preparation ahead of time. But when we do, God blesses and He comes down. But He said, here am I, send me. You know, young people, I'm encouraged with this group of young people that I've just seen them. My prayer is God would lay His hand upon you young people. You young men. You know, we lose a lot of our young men to the world. I'm sad to say that. And not just young men, but young ladies too. I pray that God will place His hand on you. That you would feel the call of God upon your life. That you would feel it in your heart, in your spirit. I believe the Lord's still calling. I believe the Lord still calls people. But I pray that we would feel that tonight, the call of God upon our lives. Not just young people, but all of us. Life is getting by. And what we're going to do, we need to do it. What we're here for, we need to get it done. Because it's slipping by. I was singing the song this afternoon to myself. I'm not a great singer and I'm not going to sing it for you. But it's called Touch Me Again, Lord. I need your power in this present hour. I need renewal. My marriage needs renewal. I need something from God. You know, the Lord can do that. He can meet us and He can touch us again. All of us have had the habit, or we would have fell by the wayside years and years ago. We need God's touch, and more than willing to do that, to renew us. If we come and we give ourselves to Him, we open our hearts and consecrate. And I know consecration is not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we have to consecrate to be a failure. A failure for God. But you know, I'd rather be a failure and try doing something than to have a talent that God has given me just lie buried and not being used. But I'm going to tell you, you won't be a failure. When the Lord begins to work in your heart and He begins to call, and I'm going to say this too, the Holy Spirit doesn't make mistakes. When He calls, you know, Moses felt like he called the wrong person. And he had all kinds of reasons, all kinds of excuses. The only way that we are truly going to be fulfilled in life is when the Holy Spirit has its right of way in our life. Marriage is not satisfying without the seasoning of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit makes life, I don't know what it is, it makes life more precious, more valuable, more life-giving. The Holy Spirit does that for us. I know there's consecrations that we have to make, but God will see us through. And the Holy Spirit, when He begins to speak to our hearts, He's got the right person. We may think He doesn't, but He does. And Brother Marty, you talked about the other night, you said nobody will remember you, you know, when you pass, as far as making a name in the world. But that scripture I read earlier that said, he that reapeth and he that soweth gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Brother Marty, you'll be known in heaven. Yeah, we won't have a name here. We won't have the praise of men here. But when we get to heaven, there's going to be some treasures there. Let's not feel like our labor is in vain in the Lord. The things that we do, the little things, you know, we don't think it's very much. I know I look back in my life, I remember, and a lot of times it's not really the big things. It's just the little things that were done in the Spirit that hit the spot, that fit, that helps us. We don't know what our life, the influence that our life has. But let's give it to God. Allow Him to work. Allow Him to touch us again. You know, I've been places in my life where I've drawn back from the leadings of the Spirit of God. If you've never drawn back, I'd like to hear say, know how you've done it. There's been times that I've drawn back, and I tell you, it gets pretty dry. And it gets pretty lonely. But when I open my heart and I say, Lord, whatever it is, the life, the water, the blood, His flesh begin to live in me, and they give us strength. So let's be encouraged this evening that God can renew us. He can restore. When we've been in a wreck, He can restore, make new, and we can go on with faith, hope, courage, and strength, and be what God wants us to be. You know, when you go out in the world and you see people, there's such an empty look in their eyes. There's such a vanity, an emptiness of life not being fulfilling. And when you've got the Lord working and you've got the Word living in you, and you go to them, you can look them in the eye, you know, with a smile on your face, you don't know the enormity of what that means. We live in a dying society. Society is dying morally and spiritually in every which way. And the Lord wants us to offer the gospel of hope, to have it in our hearts when He gives us opportunity. I appreciate your attention this evening.